This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Everybody, thanks for joining us again. This week we discuss the Dead Files episode House of Mirrors, season 5, episode 3 on Max, and this was released May 9th, 2015. And Amy, do you want to tell us why you chose this? Because it was your pick.
It was my pick, yes. I chose it because it was another one that the Reddit people named as a good one. And so I just want to let you all know, if you have anyone that you want to suggest or request for us, please reach out. I do have a spreadsheet of all of the episodes we have not done, and it's out on our Patreon right now, because I wanted to give patrons a jump at recommending or suggesting some of those. So by now, that will be up on our public site for everybody to go look at, and you can actually like do a comment, mark up the document, and if you want to do it, put your name in there, and your name will be mentioned when we do it.
But you don't have to if you don't want to.
You don't have to if you don't want to. You can pretend like you never even heard me say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we talked about child death in history and death by suicide.
Yeah. So those are trigger warnings. So if you are sensitive to those, they're both in the history piece.
Yeah.
And a bit in the reveal, but they're not.
And none of them are too. I mean, we did speculate a little bit on the hanging.
The suicide. But yeah. None of them are very in depth. They don't. No. So it's not very gory. It's just like mentioned. Some other ones that we've had.
Yeah. Only housekeeping I have is that we only have one more episode this year, and then we're taking a few weeks off until mid-January. And for our last episode, I think we're going to do like a recap of the whole year, just a chit chat, ups and downs, talk about the people we talked to, the people we met.
Sure.
Our wonderful guests and things like
this. This was a really fun year.
It was a fun year.
We had a lot of good.
We met so many cool
guests.
People.
Oh my God, we so did. Yeah.
And of course, all of them live somewhere else. So it's not like we can hang out with them.
It's like so selfish of them to not live, to
Why
not move
everybody
here
live in Minnesota?
Instantly after meeting us virtually.
That's right.
It's rude. Just uproot your whole lives.
Yeah. I'm going to ask this again in our last episode, but while we get there, think about this. We're thinking that we might do an investigation type show, like in another city, go stay in a little hotel and do a little investigation. So we'd like to know suggestions for where you think we should go. Probably keep it fairly local. Doesn't have to be in Minnesota, but you know.
I would say probably within like a 4-hour radius of where we are.
Yeah. Somewhere like that we could just drive to.
I don't want to get on a plane.
No, we're not doing that. We got to drive. Also, let us know what other shows we might cover. And I was thinking we could also, because I listened to some cool paranormal podcasts, like I mentioned Dave Schrader. I mentioned that in this episode. So maybe we could, you know, talk about other podcasts, or we could bring other podcast hosts on like we've done with Diana and Becky. So we're always looking for new guests. So if you know anybody that, you know, does something cool in the paranormal world or in the mystical world or metaphysical or, you know, whatever.
Anything.
Hit us up. Let us know.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to plan for next year, and we would like suggestions.
We're open. We're doing this for you guys.
That's
so what do you guys want to hear?
That's right. Yep.
Other than our beautiful melodious voices.
Obviously.
That's a given. I mean, I didn't even think it needed to be mentioned, but I wanted to, in case.
All right. So enjoy the episode.
Enjoy the show. Welcome back, everybody. Tonight, as mentioned, we are discussing the Dead Files episode House of Mirrors. And Amy is here with your overview. Take it away, Amy.
Thank you. So this week's Dead Files case takes us to Independence, Oregon, where Terry, his partner Bobby, and Terry's young grandson Ashton are living in what can only be described as a psychological funhouse without the fun. The activity in their relocated farmhouse has reached a breaking point. Shadow figures crowding the bed, women's voices murmuring from empty rooms, illusions that look like animals darting through walls, and dreams twisted into nightmares. Terry isn't sleeping, Bobby is emotionally unraveling, and 7-year-old Ashton is terrified to be alone anywhere in the house. Amy walks in and immediately loses her grip on what's real and what's being manipulated. She enters a swarm, 50 or so, of trickster entities, feeding off the family's negativity and stirring it up as entertainment. They distort what people see, hear, and feel, pulling old traumas to the surface and amplifying every insecurity until the house becomes a pressure cooker. On top of that, Amy identifies a powerful dead man acting as the ringleader. Steve's research lines up with two major historical threads. One, the house itself was moved from a different property, one that belonged to a man who died by hanging under tragic and mysterious circumstances. And the current property was originally owned by a disgraced man whose fall from power left him bitter and humiliated. One of these men fits Amy's description of a forceful, authoritative, deeply angry presence who refuses to move on and who may be fueling the trickster's chaos. By the reveal, every piece snaps into place. Terry's mood swings, Bobby's emotional spirals, Ashton's terror, all being amplified and manipulated. And Amy drops a heavy prescription. Remove the leader with a physical medium and push the tricksters out with a shamanic perimeter cleansing. And get Terry journaling and burning his emotional buildup to shut down his inadvertent telepathic contribution to the mayhem. The question, as always, is whether this family can actually follow through with everything they're being asked to do and whether it'll be enough to stop the unraveling. Stay tuned to see if the activity continues. Ba, ba, ba. So here we are in segment one. Here we are.
The first thing that Amy Ellen said that made me laugh was she was doing her walk and she said, "My name is Amy Allen. There's panic," and I went at the disco.
That's in the intro for this whole season.
Yes,
right?
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. So every time she did, she goes panic, 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 and I go at the disco.
Every time. Yeah.
I watch.
Not related
from
to
that.
This episode at all.
No. But no. It's from a different episode, but it's the intro for every episode in this season, which
there's
is
panic
season 5. Yeah. I know. That's so funny. I did say.
I'm drinking out of my Golden Girls cup today.
Oh, cute.
It says stay golden on it. Oh, and I'm nice. Drinking my Oregon chai because it's Oregon. Oh, my God.
Oh,
I didn't
look
put
at that
together.
Pretend
but
like
it is
did.
The best chai you'll ever have.
Really?
You can find it on Amazon. So my friend and I went to Eau Claire this past year for our 40th birthday because we're old.
No, you're not.
And we went to a cat cafe and they had chai. Yes. And I asked the owner, I said, "This is so good. What kind is it?" And she goes, "It's Oregon chai." And I get it on Amazon. And so my friend bought me 48 packets of it.
Oh, my goodness.
6 boxes of 8 packets each. And so I got the vanilla chai. Mm. So now we're doing it's so good.
Yum, yum.
So if you're a chai drinker.
Yeah.
It is good.
Good.
And it's on Amazon.
Well,
and a box of it is like $3-$4, something like that. So,
wow.
I just did the 6 of 8 because I drink it a lot.
Yeah. First thing that I got was what Steve is talking about, the
client.
I mean, you know, I'm going to this rural town of Independence, Oregon, blah, 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 blah. And then he says that this guy's desperate and that he says if we can't help him, he doesn't think he's going to last another year. And I'm like, wow, that's really dramatic. Not only is their relationship in trouble, but his health.
But he's going to
die. Yeah.
And it's not like he could just move.
No. Yeah. I mean.
That's not his dream. It's not, you know, anything. He just bought a house and shit started happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like 4 years ago or something.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah. Anyway, I did note that the house has a lot of really cool antique-y stuff in it. Like when they showed Matt and he was taking all the all the stuff off the walls. Mm-hmm. I was like, that looks really cool with all the photos and stuff. But they had to take all the photos down. But then I realized later the house is really kind of schizophrenic. Like some of the rooms look like a grandma decorated it, which it was his grandparents' house, right? Or his parents'
house. Oh, maybe
house.
It
his
was.
Parents, I think it was his parents' house.
Oh, that's right. Because he asked if he grew up here right. and he said, no, the house was moved. That's right. right. So disregard right. everything I just said 2 minutes ago where I said it wasn't in the family. And Amy's like, but wasn't it in the family?
I'm like, well, maybe it was. But, you know, I'm kind of discombobulated today, you guys. So
that's okay.
I don't know if, you know, if I even know what I'm doing. Right
I mean,
now.
We don't know anything, really.
I don't. Yeah. I just
Amy's the one who usually drives the bus. And so with her discombobulated and me, it's yeah. you're in for a ride.
This might be a good one or yeah. a real bad one. But either way.
Depends on your definition. I mean,
depends what you're into.
Yeah.
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 So. Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was weird because like some of the rooms were like mm-hmm. super like old lady looking. And then some of them are like gothic cool.
I wonder if they're like redecorating a room at a time.
They might
Because like
yeah.
it costs a lot of money to redecorate a whole house.
It does. It really does.
So that might be what they're doing is that just one room at a time.
They just haven't gotten to the kitchen yet and left the doily tablecloth and all that.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with a good doily, okay? Said it once, I've said it 100 times.
100 times, you say it all the time.
I thought it was really funny when Steve was like, Terry, what's going on? And Terry goes, oh gosh, well, geez. Oh gosh. I was like, whoa, Terry, let's calm down.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like, don't get me started.
He's like, so gosh, Steven, I just don't even know.
Yeah. Oh, and one of the first things Amy said, she had a really hard time opening. She said there are these trickster things here. Mm-hmm. And she said they are treacherous thieves and liars.
Bum, bum, bum.
I like that. Treacherous
I did like
thieves
that too.
And liars.
Then Terry goes, the first thing he says, I've been chased down the hallway.
I know.
And I was like, that's a strong start.
Well,
I'm that
like,
is.
I have follow-up questions yeah. because by what?
And then Steve is just like, oh, wow, okay, so who lives here?
Yeah.
Like just glosses over it.
I know.
He's like, chased down the hallway. And who lives here? I'd yeah. be like, who chased you?
Yeah.
What time of day was it?
Yeah, exactly.
Where? What were you wearing?
what were like, you wearing? Was it your fault?
Why were you in your hallway so late at night?
I mean, you should have known
hallway.
Better.
Yeah. You're asking for
You're
it.
You're asking for it.
Yeah, that was a little like right out the gate. He's yeah. like, well, Steve, I've been, you know, most people start off like, I've seen apparitions. We hear voices.
Yeah.
And he does say that, but then he goes, and yeah. I've been chased down the hallway.
Yeah. Yeah. And he does say he's not getting any sleep. So immediately mm-hmm. when he says he gets no sleep, none, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, so I then am going to take everything with a grain of salt because this right. man has not had sleep. And I know that when I don't get sleep, my mm-hmm. brain doesn't work right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that could be some of it. But I do believe there's stuff is going on.
There is stuff for sure. But like, you're no sleep ever. You would die.
Yeah.
You would die.
Yeah.
You have to be getting some sleep.
He's
sometimes.
Probably just not getting good sleep. You yeah. should have a watch that tells you how much you've slept.
You know
slept.
What? And here everybody is an ad for Apple Watch. Just kidding.
Nope. It would be Samsung if anything. I don't have
it. It would be for you. Yeah. Yep. I don't really care either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of shit going on in this house, for sure.
Yeah.
But also, it might be exacerbated by his lack of sleep.
By this lack of sleep, exactly. Well, and as we find out about his telepathy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when they said that the house had been moved, I'm like, ooh. That, yeah that's probably not.
That's never good. Mm-mm. Never good.
No.
Because they're either mad that you moved it to where you, they're mad that you moved it from where it was.
Yeah.
Or they're mad that you moved it to where you put it. Like,
yeah.
Never good situation.
Yeah. Right. I noticed I think it's the main bedroom or is it in the guest bedroom? They have these like spiny, like tree branches going mm-hmm. up the walls and over the ceiling. And I thought that was really cool, but I can absolutely see how that would give me nightmares if I wake up and see that in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Like that's like a living room decor item, not a bedroom decor item.
I mean, it's really cool.
They're super neat, but they are. If I woke up at midnight and there's a full moon shining in my room and I see those things, y'all, I'm shitting the bed.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Change the sheets. Cold brown. not good. Not good, my friends.
Yeah.
Oh, and I was wondering where are these elderly parents he's taking care of? Because they don't live in the house.
I'm guessing they're probably in some sort of a facility.
Yeah, probably. But then it seems weird that he'd have to move there because that's kind of, you know, I mean, if they're being taken care of 24/7, you don't have to be there.
But it doesn't, I mean, they could just be in like an assisted living facility where they're not being taken care of 24/7.
Yeah, could be.
Or, you know, I don't know. There's a mill. Yeah, I have no idea.
When they talk, when Amy is walking through and she says, what the hell? There's a man here, a living dude. And he's barreling through and he's got, he's screaming. And she goes, he's got brown hair and a round face and, you know, kind of around his face, roundish face. And I'm like, Amy is describing this guy to, like she, I'm like, oh, that's Terry, probably in his in his 40s. Yeah.
Yep.
You had a note about when Terry's talking about his first experience.
He's like super calm. One of my first experiences, I looked up and down the hallway and I saw an old man behind me in the mirror. And he's so calm when he's telling this. And I'm like, he's like, I was coming through one afternoon with a load of towels from the laundry. And I just get this overwhelming feeling that someone was behind me. And as I happened to look up and down the hallway and into that mirror, I saw an old man behind me. And he's just telling it like, and then I went to the kitchen and I got a spoon and had some soup because I was hungry. He's just so calm.
I wonder if he's told the story so many times that it just doesn't have the same effect on him, you know?
He gave off the aura of like at every dinner party, anything he goes to, he's telling the story.
It could be.
And I don't blame him. I would too.
Yeah. Especially if you're...
They'd be like, hi, how are you? You would not believe this shit, Deborah.
Do I have a story for you?
Buckle up.
Before the appetizers.
Yeah. Yeah. How much time do we got before the souffle is ready? Perfect. Sit down. Have you heard of mirrors?
Yeah, I felt like this one tied in pretty good to our last episode with Diana talking about the mirrors.
Oh, Diana.
She's so much fun.
She's a delight.
I love her.
So then we go through and like, you know, Terry's talking about all the different things that are happening to him. And, you know, he hears voices, women's voices. And Steve's like, do you go and investigate? And and Terry's like, yeah, I usually go. And I'm like, who are these people? If I hear voices in my house, I'm not investigating that.
Yeah. I would assume it was an intruder. I would not assume that it's a ghost right away.
But even if it's an intruder, you're a bad intruder. Like, what are you? You got to be quiet. You got to be stealthy. He's on the phone. Yeah, Bob, I'm just in this house about to rob it, but I'm free after.
Wanna get some drinks? Call me back in 20 minutes.
Yeah, call me back in 20. Yeah. It's just, he's very nonchalant, Terry is, with everything he's describing, which again, like you said, Amy is probably because he's told it a bunch of times. And so he's not, you know, I'm sure the first time he told it, he was a lot more animated than what he was.
He does say that he's been kind of confrontational with the ghosts. Mm-hmm. And he said that
which
usually
always
makes it,
works out well.
It makes it worse. I'm like, yeah, of course it does. And I think that's what Amy was referring to when she's talking about the guy screaming. I think she was talking about him screaming at the people, at the ghosts.
Yeah.
He said, I never had circles under my eyes until I moved into this house. And I'm just saying, like, speaking from experience, when you're also caring for elderly parents, it takes a lot out of you. So he's got that stress along with the ghosty stuff. I'm surprised. I mean, I'm not surprised that he doesn't sleep.
Yeah.
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 He did say that when he tells them to leave and they don't. And I'm like, I thought they had to leave.
That always confused me too, because I tried that before and I feel like it didn't work. So I don't know if it needs to be done in a certain way. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah. I've never had to tell anybody to leave, but in our old house, I did tell them. I asked nicely. I didn't yell at them, but I asked them to please stop ringing or stop talking, yelling in our ears. Mm-hmm. I said, go play the piano instead. But they didn't.
See, you're a lot braver, though. I,
Well, like, I think part of me was like, I don't really think that it's happening. I just think I made that up. Mm-hmm. But
I will say, when Amy was talking about the tricksters, she goes, they surround any bed that has a living person in them. And I was like, oh, good. They're inclusive. They don't they don't pick and choose. They terrorize everybody.
That's it.
That's okay. Amy Allen. They're fucking with me.
Yeah. They're fucking with me.
Fucking with me.
And then I was thinking that, like, when she, as she's talking about that, and she's saying that, you know, they're crawling in and out of closets and they're in the house and they're feeding on this. I'm like thinking, you know, that's with Terry. That's you got to get all the negativity out of that house.
Yeah.
Yep. So then we talked to Bobby.
Oh, he was so cute.
He was a sweetie.
He was.
And when he's talking about this animal that runs around that's 2 feet tall and it looks like it's too big to be a rodent, and it's kind of a gremlin troll-like, and Steve goes, do you think it's some kind of animal or anything like that? You sure?
I'm like, Steve, what animal looks like a gremlin or a troll?
Yeah.
Like, what animal do you see? And they're like, oh my God, what a troll.
I mean, maybe an opossum? I could see a gremlin.
Okay, that's fair.
They kind of look like a gremlin.
But they're not, 2 feet tall.
No, they're not 2 feet tall. They better not be. That would be scary.
Yeah, I hope not.
Yeah.
They are very scary looking, I will say, now that you bring that up. They are freaky looking. Have you ever seen a possum? I mean, you listeners. I know Amy has. They've been in her well.
I had one in my window well. Yep. Yeah, they're kind of cute until they open their mouth.
Yeah.
They have really nasty teeth, but they are our friends. They eat the icky bugs and stuff, and they are our friends.
Yeah, no, they're weird looking, and they've got fucking beady eyes and a pointed face, and it's weird. It's weird.
Yeah.
They are friends, so, like, don't kill them.
Right. Don't hurt them.
They just are fucking weird.
They eat ticks, which we like, because we don't like ticks on us or our animals. So
no.
Yep. So Bobby talks about how he saw this little fawn hop through the back window into the bedroom and then take off down the hall. I think this is the first time I've heard of a client having something like that, like an animal running through their house. But it reminded me of a couple weeks ago now, I guess. I was sitting in the backyard. The dogs were running around going potty. And, you know, we have a fence that goes all the way around the house. And I was sitting at the picnic table. The fence is over to my right, kind of. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw something that was running between my house and my neighbor's house. And it was gray and it was tall, and it looked like it was something running on 2 feet.
No.
And so I went, like, it was, I could see it through the fence. Like, I couldn't see it. It's a wood fence with kind of wide slats.
Yeah.
So I could see it through the fence. So I couldn't see the whole animal. And so I was like, what the fuck was that? And I jumped up and I ran over there. And by the time I got over there, it was gone, but the dogs were barking. So it was something the dogs saw,
something,
too.
Yeah.
It was something. But I looked in the bushes. I looked in the trees. I looked everywhere, and I didn't see anything. I have no idea what that was.
There aren't any animals that run on 2 feet that live around here.
I don't think so.
Except monkeys and apes, and they don't live around here.
Yeah. No. And it wasn't that kind of running either. It was almost like a bird.
Like I was a, just like say a big bird. But you would see that fly. Like, you would see it take off.
Yeah. And it was big. It was
3 feet
tall, probably.
3 feet tall?
3 feet tall. So Greg thinks it was a turkey. And
but
I
you would
I,
have
that,
seen.
I didn't
no.
think the turkeys got that big. I mean, they get pretty big, but I didn't think it got that big.
They do get big. But you would have seen it. They're not exactly stealthy.
Right. And it's not like it could have just disappeared. Mm.
Big and dumb. I hate turkeys.
They're weird. And they're mean.
They're delicious to eat, but they hate them. They're mean.
They are mean. They're real mean. They knock, in our neighborhood, they knock bikers off of their bikes.
They charge people.
They're and that's like because somebody in the neighborhood geese. Feeds them. Yeah. They're creepy. And then Steve asks,
were you boozing? My cousin Kathy loves this phrase. She loves it. See, she says it all the time. Were you boozing?
Were you boozing?
You boozing?
Yeah, that's going to be on the bingo card.
That should be on every bingo card.
I think so, too.
And Bobby's like, no, I don't drink.
Don't drink. Don't do any drugs.
He's like, any drugs? What's Bobby going to be? Oh, yeah, I was on fucking crack. But I swear
Do you think it was the hallucinogenic mushrooms? Could that have been it?
I mean, I was on LSD, Steve, but I don't think
that was it. No.
And the dragon next to me agreed. Yeah. He saw it too. And he thought, like, there's no way both of us saw it.
Right. Right.
So it's got to be true.
That's right. Here they're talking to the little boy Ashton, who's the grandson.
Adorable.
Yeah, he's a sweetie. And he's scared. And mm-hmm. he says something came out of his closet.
Absolutely not.
I know. And he says it was like a demon or something, which I'm thinking, did somebody tell him like anything that you don't understand is a demon? Because it kind of feels like that. Like, I don't know that he really thinks.
But he also said it had red eyes. And if like social like movies and everything, they all do have red eyes. So he could have gotten it from that too.
He could have. Yep, he could have.
And I don't think either Bobby or Terry ever mentions a demon, do they?
I don't remember that. Mm-mm. I don't think so.
I feel like he probably inferred that on his own.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't mean he was told to say that.
Right.
But I feel like he has grown up believing that things you don't understand, just call it a demon.
Well, that's, I mean, how many adults do, they're like, oh, it's evil.
My
like,
mom
even
does.
Me, I thought mm-hmm. Frank was evil and he was protecting me.
Right.
But what we don't understand, we fear.
Yep, exactly.
That's why so many people hate the gays.
That's right.
Or they're jealous.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably more like it.
I mean, Grindr crashed at the RNC a couple years ago. So.
I know.
Mm. Yep. He was so cute, though.
Yeah, he was. He was a cutie. I just want to mention, I listened to an episode of Dave Schrader's podcast. I believe it's called Paranormal 360. Mm-hmm. And he was doing answering listener questions. And he said that he was telling a story about how he had a client once who called him and said, he said, well, what's going on? What do you need me for? And she said, I think I have a demon. Mm-hmm. And then she went on to say, like, this plate fell off of her wall and it was her great grandmother's plate. And she thinks a demon did it. And he's like, well, what makes you think a demon did it? And well, first thing he said is, you don't have a demon.
Yeah.
Tell me what happened. And then she tells him all
this stuff. Is he like a medium or what is he?
No, he's an investigator, but he has a lot of history and he knows things.
Yeah.
So he explains why he knew that. And he said, my first indication is that she said, I think I have a demon. Mm-hmm. If you have a demon, you know you have a demon.
Yeah.
You don't think you have a demon. So if you think you have a demon, it probably isn't one.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, he went on to figure out what it was and that he asked, like, where did your great grandmother get that plate? And she says, oh, it was given to her by her mother-in-law or something like that. And he said, what was their relationship like? And she goes, oh, she hated her. And he's like, well, then doesn't it make more sense that your great grandmother just kicked that off the wall?
Broke the plate.
Yeah, because she didn't like the lady and she didn't like the plate.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, God, yeah, that's something my great grandmother would do. Absolutely. So, you know, it wasn't a demon.
Yep.
Just saying, it's not always a demon, people.
It's, look, if I've said it once, I've said 100 times. Not always a demon.
Always a demon. No.
9 times out of 10.
That's right.
60% of the time, it's never a demon.
All right. Do we have anything more on segment one, or are we up to digging true?
I think we're digging true.
Okay, let's go digging true. Have you ever wanted to sip on something that tastes like a potion and feels like a spell without waking up to a haunted inbox of regret the next day? Yeah, us too. That's why we're still obsessed with Three Spirit, our favorite line of plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs. These drinks are not your average just-add-bubbles mocktails. No, ma'am. These are mood-shifting, spirit-lifting, botanically enhanced brews made by actual plant nerds, bar wizards, and maybe a forest witch or two. Whether you're conjuring courage for a social gathering, chilling out with your spirit guides, or just vibing solo while listening to a paranormal podcast, like, I don't know, this one, there's a blend for you. Our go-to, the Nightcap. It's like a hug from a friendly ghost. Smooth, dreamy, and perfect before bed. But don't sleep on the others. Each one has its own magic. You can get 15% off your first order with our link. Just head to 3spiritdrinks.com and use code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES at checkout. So raise your glass or your cauldron and drink to your health, your spirits,
and maybe even the activity that continues.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Digging through the archives.
So we first meet.
That was me shoveling.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Have fun watching that back.
I can see you now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, this is where we get the ring shot.
Ring shot.
So bingo. When Steve says that he is, they don't know anything about the history of their house. They have no clue about the history of the house. Kind of rude, Steve, because like he's either saying they have no clue or he's like, oh, clients always think they know what's going on, but usually they're wrong. So I'm going to go find out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Steve, tone it down.
Steve.
Yeah. I have no clue about the history of my house. I just know it was built in 1954.
Yeah. I know the people who lived here before and how long they lived here, but I don't know anything past that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think they were the only other owners, honestly.
Yeah.
Because they lived here for a long time and they were very old when they sold it. Okay, so it turns out the original property owner was publicly disgraced. So he goes to...
Oh, no.
I know.
The worst kind of disgrace.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of is, honestly.
So he goes to local historian Diane Garris Gardiner. I don't know how you say her last name. G-O-E-R-E-S. Garris? Gardner. Gardner. Anyway, we'll call her Diane.
Diane.
So he goes to Diane. She talks about Alva Shaw. She shows a picture of him. Mm-hmm. He was born in New York in 1819, came to Oregon in 1844, and he was appointed by the governor to be the superintendent of the state penitentiary. Mm-hmm. And he did not do such a good job at his job. And
well, he got it through nepotism. He wasn't qualified at all. He had a lot of connections, and that's how he got it. So okay. Nothing has changed in 150 years.
That's right. He was white, I should note.
Yes.
Well, of course. He had a job in the 1800s, so yeah, right. He was white.
That he earned money at.
I did learn a little bit more about him, and that'll be in the research and rabbit holes at the end. Okay. I didn't really get that much on anybody, but I did get a little bit. So yeah, a bunch of these prisoners at some point escaped, and only a handful were recaptured. Mm-hmm. So he did not do so
44 escaped. Mm-hmm. 13 were recaptured.
Yep.
So I'm not good at math, but those are not good numbers.
Doesn't seem like good numbers. No.
No. Mm-mm. Oh, well, Steve said it next to us. A third of his prisoners escaped. Well,
there you go. Steve's
now
doing the math on the fly.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you.
For your quick math.
Thank God someone's doing the math, because it can't be me.
Nope, me neither. So Amy, then she's walking around outside, and she says as soon as she gets outside, she feels like a haze has been lifted. Mm-hmm. So most of the shit's going on in the house. Mm-hmm. She thinks that there's a very dead, powerful man, had a lot of strength, determination, authority, and he's manifesting in that way. And she says he's from about 100 years ago. And he is like the leader of the tricksters. Mm-hmm. So then they talk a little bit more about Alva. And things go very bad for him in 1866.
Yeah.
His mother died, Hannah Shaw, and she was buried on the property. But now, was that was the old property. So she wasn't buried on the property where the house is now, correct? She was buried on the property.
I mean, it says on your client's property. So that leads me to assume that it's the property they live on now.
Right. Okay. Okay. And then the hanging was at the guy from the other property.
Yes. The other one.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So at one point at the end of his career, he was taken hostage with a couple of other employees by some prisoners. And she explains how they were trying to run them out or something. And he grabbed a hold of the fence. And that enabled the guards to shoot the prisoners. And Steve says that's a pretty ballsy move. And so you would think that people would be like, oh, good job, Alva. No.
Mm-hmm.
No, he got blamed for everything. that he was too liberal. He left the shackles on, mm-hmm. off the prisoners when he should have had adequate security, la, la, la. So he is basically a pariah, and he goes, peace out, I'm going to Cali. So he moved to California.
Well, they need someone to blame.
Yep.
And they, I mean, scapegoat, classic yeah. scapegoat.
Yeah, yep. So he moved to California, died at about 64, which... Yeah,
I mean, that's a decent age for 1800s.
It is.
His mom
is.
Was 71.
Yeah, yeah. And they don't know what he died of, but they just said, his obituary just said, an illness that lasted 13 hours. No idea.
I don't... What could kill you that fast? I mean, back then, I suppose a lot of
like
things.
Like an infection, maybe
fast?
Like a sepsis or something?
But in I feel like a sepsis would have to marinate for a few days.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. As we've clearly established, we are not
we
doctors.
We are not doctors.
So.
Yeah. But then Matt asks Amy if she knows how he died. And she said, not the way he expected or wanted. He would have liked to go out like, you know, blaze of glory. And she thinks he does go into other homes and spies on people. Mm-hmm. He might be attracted to the negativity of the living. And he has ill intent.
Yeah.
Then we see Steve. He goes to talk to Sheriff Wolf, and he knows about this guy. He was running out of town.
Alvashaw. Yeah,
Alvashaw. And so, searching through old records, mm-hmm. he finds a deadly fight between two neighbors right next to Bobby and Terry's property.
Oh, no.
So he goes, not that it has anything to do with Bobby and Terry's property, but, you know, we're going to cover all our bases here.
I mean, it could.
It could.
Yeah.
So Sheriff Wolf tells him about these two gentlemen, O.P. Beardsley and T.L. Perryman. We don't know
those
their names.
Those are some names.
Yeah. We just know their initials. We don't know their full names. And so as a result, I couldn't find shit on them when I was doing the research. But anyway, these guys were fighting. I'm not going to get into it too much, but one of them shot the other one. And it seems like one of them was the aggressor mm-hmm. all up until the end. And then he was the one that got shot. And killed. Mm-hmm. So I think it was probably the guy was just like fucking fed mm-hmm. up from
done
being bullied
it.
By this guy for so long that he just took him out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what happened. And he goes, yeah, there was no other altercation. He just went, look, got a gun and shot him. He's like, this motherfucker on my doorstep again.
Son of a bitch, and I dealt with you enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's that. I put in my notes. To be fair, Beardsley had been bullied and beat up mm-hmm. by this man for years. So not that it's okay to murder somebody, but I can kind of see where he was like,
well, I mean, the
shit.
Jury agreed because mm-hmm. they acquitted him.
Yeah, that's
they said he was defending himself, which it sounds like he was.
Yeah.
This guy was bullying him, essentially, just like you said.
Yeah, for a long time.
He was walking. And Perryman just came up and like beat him up.
Yeah.
Beardsley's walking with a cane and Perryman comes across him and attacks him and breaks several of his ribs, puts a gash on his head and dislocates an eye.
Yeah. That was an earlier. Yeah.
So that happened before.
Yeah.
And that was just one. Like, that's a vicious attack.
Right.
That is not, I'm going to punch you in the face. That is, I'm going to beat you. Like, it sounds like he beat him. Like, Beardsley probably got punched, fell down, and then this Perryman kept hitting him.
Yeah.
So, that wasn't... I agree with the jury.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, not knowing the whole story, it does sound like it makes sense. Yeah. Amy does see, she feels like something hits her. Mm-hmm. And she says this person it was the middle of the day. He is probably mm-hmm. in his late 30s or 40s. And this nearly shocks him. So this shooting... Mm-hmm. of this man. Mm-hmm. So then Steve goes to his buddy, Jeff Davis, who's an author, because Terry mentioned that his house was moved. So mm-hmm. he goes out to this guy who knows about some shit.
Yeah.
So he goes to the property of the house where the house originally was.
The first property.
Yes, the first property. And it's about 17 or 18 miles from where it is now.
Mm-hmm. So it didn't move far.
Right. So the landowner's name was John Johnson, and they show his photo. It was originally there in 1845, and they show the house. Mm-hmm. I thought he looked like Christian Bale in one of those.
He kind of does.
Christian Bale, like,
because
what was
that
movie that I just watched a movie, The Pale Blue Eye or something. He looks just like this in that.
But he's got that very distinguishable goatee. And I feel like Christian Bale looks very recognizable with that goatee.
Yeah, he's got the same kind of lips, like the thin lips. Yeah.
Same eyes. Is it Christian Bale? Just kidding.
Is it Christian Bale? So this guy...
Oh, he did not have it easy.
Yeah, he did not. Shit just went wrong the second he landed on the property. Within hours of getting there, his father died of pneumonia. And then Steve goes, so his father died?
Nope.
Yep, Steve. That's what I just fucking said.
Nope.
And then...
When I said died, I actually meant not died.
I meant... I was being hyperbolic. He didn't really
die. It's opposite day, Steve.
Yeah.
He's fine. He's actually still alive. Because in this town, nobody dies. So. Yeah,
that's right. Just like that other... the vampire town.
So, have you heard of anybody dying in this town? No.
Nope. No. Oh, the walking.
And we never go out in sunlight either.
Right. Yeah. And keep that garlic away from us.
Yeah, we are very bland food.
Yeah. Yep. So then his 5-year-old nephew, Persis, died of meningitis.
It's a Greek name.
Yeah.
It's very Greek.
That's right. Yeah. And then not even a year later, his father-in-law, James Taylor, not
James
to be
Taylor,
the singer James Taylor.
Yeah, not the same person.
No, he passed away and he lived right next door.
Yeah.
And we don't say how he passed away. Then he had another nephew that died of diphtheria. And then so that was two. Wasn't there another diphtheria? No, there weren't. It was a pneumonia. No.
Pneumonia, meningitis,
and then diphtheria.
Pneumonia, meningitis, and diphtheria. Oh my! There it is.
There you go.
It's been a while since we whipped one of those out.
I know it has. On July 9th, 1877, his wife called to him and was looking for him, and he was out in the. She was in the house. He was out in the barn doing chores, and they show a picture of her, and she looks. I don't know. Can I get out of here now?
Yeah.
I don't think she likes
you're
still.
Already doing chores at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
That means you woke up prior to 6 a.m.
That's right.
To get up and out to the barn to perform said chores.
That's right. Yep.
I would not have lasted a day. I'd be like, you want me to get up at what time?
At what time now? I was up at 4 today. That's why I'm so fucking tired.
That's disgusting. Thank God Jordan sleeps till like 7:38 on the weekends.
Nice.
And if he gets up early, I'm the worst mom in the world. I just go sit in bed with me, watch your pad, and then I just go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Don't judge me.
No, I don't. I would do the same thing. All right.
Yeah,
so
he's out in freaking crack of dawn.
Yep.
Getting up with the sun, doing barn chores.
Yep. And so she goes out, she finds him in the barn hanging from the rafters.
Yeah.
And Steve says, for what reason? Why? For what reason? And they said, we don't know. The family doesn't know. And then Steve goes, so he kills himself. How old was he? He was 61. And then he said, so are any of these people that died buried on the property? And the guy goes, they're all buried here.
Ooh.
I'm like, fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was common, you know, like. Mm-hmm.
It was.
You bury me by the tree.
Yep.
Oofta.
Yep. I'd like to be food for Ambrose.
I know. I would love. I've said it before multiple times. Bury me as like a pod of a tree.
Yeah.
Don't put me in a box.
Yeah.
Do not in any way, shape or form cremate me. Absolutely not. Absolutely. I want it said on this podcast. Do not cremate me, because what if I'm still alive?
Okay.
And then you put me in there and I'm
we've had this discussion before.
I know,
and it makes no sense, Megan, because you want to be food for a tree, but you know that your bones aren't going to feed the tree, right? You're not alive when you're just a pile of bones.
That's different than putting me in freshly dead.
Okay, well, if you're going to be embalmed for your funeral, it doesn't matter. You're not alive.
I just
the embalming just would kill you.
Skeeves me out.
You're not
don't
going to be alive.
Like it.
I do want to be. I really want to be in a body farm.
We'll
that's what
that.
I would prefer. But there isn't one in Minnesota. And
what do they do after with the bodies in the body farm once they're done with them?
They They cremate them. They cremate them. Yeah.
See.
But see, you can't possibly be alive, Megan. You've been laying out in a body farm for 10 years. You're not alive.
That's different. That's different.
Okay.
Than if I'm just dead in the hospital and they're like, all right, wheel her on down.
They don't go straight from your hospital bed to the crematorium.
I don't like it. It just freaks me out.
Well, then you know what you need to do is you need to do a healthcare directive and make that
I'm
clear
going to.
And sign that, because if you don't and something happens and John goes, light her up. He can do that.
No.
So you have to have the paperwork. I'm not saying he would.
No.
But I'm just saying you got to have the paperwork saying that. My mom is also anti cremation because she thinks she's going to use her body on the other side. So I'm like, you want this body? Wouldn't you rather get a new one? But
I kind of agree with Babs on that.
Anyway.
But I also agree with you. Like, I would want a newer body.
Yeah. Yeah.
I support Babs in that, though.
Yeah. Oh, if she doesn't want to do it, that's fine. I'm not going to have it done.
Right. Yeah.
For whatever reason, I don't know everything. So, but I'm pretty goddamn sure you don't need your dead body on the other side. Just saying.
I mean, that's true, because how else do we have ghosts that are hundreds of years old? Their body's gone.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Amy does see this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Broken neck. This is bad. This was not done well. It's a male. But she said he's in his 60s. She goes, he's old, in his 60s. Amy,
that is not old.
Can I have
first
a word
of
with
all?
You? So, she said it might have been an accidental hanging, because it's so badly done.
But like, how would you have an accidental hanging? Because the rope has to get around your neck somehow.
Well, do they even say that it was a rope? I mean,
that's fair. That's fair.
I mean, I pictured when she said it could have been an accident, I thought maybe like his shirt got caught on something and he fell off the thing and his, and I don't know. I was trying to picture how an accidental hanging could happen.
Yeah.
And all I could think of is if he had something around his neck, like a tie or a shirt or something that didn't rip, then he could have fallen, hit something that, you know, his body went down and his something pulled him up.
But he wouldn't have been wearing a tie to do chores.
Probably not, no.
But that's a good, I did not think of that.
I mean, I don't know how else it could be an accidental hanging.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So then we're on the sketch and Amy says, I saw several entities on my walk, but the group of tricksters surrounding the live-in person had me the most concerned.
Understandable, and she explains them, Amy.
Yeah. She explains them being 3 or 4 feet tall, large heads, pitch black, and they were all standing around the bed staring at the person. No, thank you.
I'm going to pass.
Yeah. Hard pass. Okay, so now
she was actually more, I mean, this was early, so she was like, yes, this is what I saw. Yes, that is what I saw. Thank you for drawing that.
She probably got so sick of saying that.
I'm sure she did, yeah.
I think that somebody on Instagram said, like on her Instagram said, she was talking about, maybe I want to write a book. Maybe I'll write a book. And everyone's like, you should totally write a book. And someone said, your book should be called Yes, That's What I Saw.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're on to segment 3, the reveal. And Steve introduces Amy to Terry and Bobby. Mm-hmm. And he discusses that Terry's 7-year-old grandson, Ashton, lives there. He's not in the reveal. It's just the two men. And Steve's like, they've got some of the wildest stories I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And this is season 5. So he's had 4.5 seasons of,
of
crazy
wild
stories.
Yeah. But nobody's presented him with a book yet.
You mean like the dentist? Is that what you're referring to?
Like Brittany.
Oh, I see what you mean. I thought you meant the ghost log. Like the dentist had the ghost log, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That was a good one, though. Too.
So yeah, that was a good one with that sweet man, the dentist.
Who put the dolls out?
I know.
My God.
I know.
He was adorable.
It was. Okay, so she talks about her walk. We're not going to go through all this shit again. When she describes what Steve thinks is John Johnson, was that it?
Mm-hmm.
The guy that hung?
Yeah.
Got hung himself,
that
whatever.
Died by hanging?
Right, died by hanging. That's the way to say it. Terry goes, she shows the picture of Christian Bale. And Terry goes, oh my. And Steve said, what's the matter? And he goes, I've seen him. That's the old man from the hallway.
Yep.
The one he saw when he was carrying the laundry. So, yeah. And that reminds me of like when we were talking to Diana and she said, that
yes.
Yeah, she saw that guy in her hallway.
Yep.
And then years later saw his picture in a family album and she went, that's the one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy mm-hmm. I saw.
There's lots of connections to Diane in this episode.
Yeah. And the dead can form all sorts of attachments. And that also reminded me of the conversation with Diana.
Yep.
And so then she says, I see this guy screaming and yelling, blah, blah, blah. And Terry goes, yeah, that's me. I'm confrontational with the ghost. When I can't get any sleep, I get up and I yell at him. And Amy's face was like, yeah, do what? No.
Yeah. And like, when does yelling at anybody ever work? No. Living, dead, and when does it ever work?
Yeah, I don't know.
When do you yell at somebody and they're like, oh my God, you're right. I'm so sorry.
I'm such a dick.
Yeah.
I do remember some episodes where Amy has told them to, under no circumstances, get out, you know, and be very firm with them
mm-hmm.
so that they know you're the boss.
But that's not yelling.
But that's not being like, get the fuck out of my house. You're keeping me awake, you know.
Like, and that's Amy's just saying be firm. She's not saying scream at him.
Right.
And he made it seem like I don't blame him. He's probably, you know, he was probably at his wit's end mm-hmm. and didn't know what else to do. But mm-hmm. like, that's not going to work when they're alive.
Or maybe he thought that's what he was supposed to do. I mean, yeah, I know maybe. You're supposed to ask them to leave, but I don't know if you're supposed to get.
And maybe he had asked them to leave multiple times and that maybe. Wasn't working. And he yeah. was just, you know, I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about him. I'm just like,
No, I really liked both of these guys.
I did too. This was they were good. Yeah. They were very cute.
Yeah. And I would love to have them on. I think it'd be fun
yes.
to talk to them. I'd like to know what happened because it kind Me of too. Ended up.
I hope they're okay.
On the, well, I do have a little update from Reddit, okay. but I don't know the validity of it, but I'll when we get there, I'll read what I got.
Okay.
Amy says, there's somebody at this location with abilities and their dominant ability is telepathy. And she says the telepath can manipulate the minds of those around them into perceiving what they are perceiving.
Mm-hmm.
And then Steve's like, there's only two guys living in this place, which is not true. He forgot about Ashton.
Yeah.
Which of these two is the telepath? And she goes, well, right when I sat down, you know, I didn't know their names. I wrote this down and she shows her notebook, the letter T circled.
Uh-huh.
So it's Terry.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I always felt like I was maybe sensitive or had some kind of power. I know my moods are contagious.
To which I say, yes and no. They can be contagious if you're around like a lot of empaths.
That's what I was going to say is that tells me that Bobby's an empath.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know if his moods are contagious so much as he's around other people who are sensitive yeah. and will pick up on that.
Exactly. Yep. That's.
But
that's
it's kind of like which came first, the chicken or the
and
egg?
It
which
really
one is it?
It really pretty much means the same thing. But right. yeah, it's not necessarily all him. If he's around people yes. like Steve, it's not going to nothing's going to yes. happen because Steve doesn't.
Steve
is
a no.
On that.
He has nothing. He's, yeah. you know, he's, he doesn't have anything. So, yeah. or maybe it's a combination of both. Like he's projecting, mm-hmm. which makes empaths easier to pick up on.
Yep. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
So Amy then explains about tricksters and how they're usually associated with Native American tribes and they're all over the world. They're not just Native American, but she said, that's not what's going on here. There's about mm-hmm. 50 of them and they're causing all kinds of chaos, blah, blah, blah. And Steve goes, well, they've seen him and they talk about, you know, the fawn that runs through the house and the ones that Terry sees at the foot of the bed. Oh, I'm looking at your little.
I know. I'm so funny.
Well, Bobby says that's where I always see him is in the bedroom. And Amy says, and they're jumping on the bed. They were having a blast.
And I was like, 50 little tricksters jumping on the bed.
One fell
off them. Possessed somebody in the bed.
Yeah.
Just kidding. They don't possess them. There's no possession in
no,
this
No, there's
one.
No possession. They're just having a good time barking and growling. That's what Amy says.
Of course. I mean, mm-hmm. look, who hasn't had a good time and barked? Come on now.
Now my dogs.
We all went to college. We went to college.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. That's true.
Just kidding. I'm just saying, don't knock barking.
Yeah. Amy says these guys, these tricksters are going to draw from you any kind of negativity. And we know mm-hmm. that Terry's full of it. Negativity, that is.
Yes.
And yes, so yes. she says they bring up past traumas or things that have happened in a person's life. They'll trigger that. And then you'll be like mm-hmm. thinking about it and thinking
and
about it and thinking
it.
About it. It's and it's feeding off. So it's like a cycle.
Oh. And then Bobby, Oh my, he just like his face was like, I do this all the time. Mm-hmm. And he just started crying.
I know. I was crying watching it.
I did. He was so, it like, was... you could just see the pain.
I know. As he was realizing and he was like, oh, shit. Yeah. That was. And then.
And then at the end, he goes, I didn't tell anybody about this. I know. I told nobody about it.
And he says, no matter how much good you do, you'll never make up for every bad thing you've ever done in your life. And I'm thinking, that sounds like something that somebody told him, like maybe a father figure at some point told him.
And I'm just hypothesizing. There's nothing in the episode to feed on this, but just knowing our culture and how it views homosexuality, I'm wondering if that maybe was something that was said to him about his sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. And
that's what I was thinking
he's been struggling with that because... they are partners and people suck and you know, and I just felt he said, sometimes I stay so long at school so I don't have to come home.
Yeah.
And it's not because he doesn't want to be with Terry. It's because he doesn't want to be at the house.
Right.
And then Amy just whispers, I'm sorry. I know. I'm like, oh God, I just want to give him a big hug.
I know. Oh, it was so sad. Yeah, so then she whips out the sketch, or I should say Steve does. Bobby gasps and goes, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
It is creepy, especially when you know that it's a drawing of you sitting in bed with all these little beings around you.
Just staring at you.
Just like, it looks like a bunch of little children all in shadow.
I was going to say it looks like a bunch of like little alien kids, like little smaller aliens. And they're only because
they have long fingers.
Yeah, they have. And it seems very organized. Like they're in almost a perfect little semicircle around his bed, just staring at him.
Yeah.
It's a very unsettling picture.
It is. It's creepy. So then Amy says these tricksters have a leader. I saw him outside. La, la, la. They talk about the guy who was running the prison and that he didn't die like he wanted to in a blaze of glory. And so that would be Alva Shaw. And Steve talks about that. When he showed the picture and he said, no, this is him at a younger age. He died when he was 64. They show Amy's face and she looked like, nah.
That's not him.
Yeah. She was like, nah. And then she said, I don't know if this is the person or not. I really don't.
It was very diplomatic, but.
Yeah. I think she was saying that it's not him.
Because when it's this person, she's like, yeah, that's them.
Yeah.
Like she's very definitive and very like, yep, that's them.
Yep. Well, or sometimes she'll say, I mean, I think so because I don't know what, you know, but this time she was just like, I don't know, you know, which told me she was
basically saying no.
I don't think so. So anyway, what she tells him to do is first the ringleader needs to go get a physical medium to come in, talk to him and get him to leave. But at the same time, you need to have a shaman come in and that person's going to set up a perimeter on the property, all the way around the property, and it's going to push the trickster's up.
Yep.
And Steve asked when they'll start feeling better, and she said he'll feel a lot better once the shaman's moved all the tricksters off the property.
Yeah.
And they say they're going to take Amy's advice every step of the way, is what they say. And I feel like they really intended to. Like,
I do too.
They were Amy's definitely the real deal. Mm-hmm. She pulled up some shit. There's no way she could have known. Yeah. We're going to do whatever she says.
They for sure didn't give off the vibe of they're not. They want, especially because Terry's so worried about his grandson. So I definitely feel like they were going to do that.
I do too. But it does end with Terry and Bobby continue their search for a medium and a shaman, and the activity continues.
Which was 10 years ago, though, because it originally aired May of 2015.
Right. Right.
I hope they're okay.
Well, we're going to get into the research and rabbit holes now. It's time for Research and Rabbit Holes, where the facts get weirder and the ghosts get louder. I did find this on Reddit. I found the story on Reddit. Somebody recommended this show, not to us personally, but just this is a good one. Mm-hmm. So that's why I picked it. And then I went back to Reddit and found somebody asking about whatever happened to these guys. And there was a thread about it.
Mm-hmm.
And one person said, Application Hot 4546, 1 year
ago. Is the username?
Yeah. Okay. Said, back in the day, there was a lively Dead Files group where some of the homeowners popped in and shared further experiences after the show aired. It was really cool to have that. The House of Mirrors owner, Terry, stopped by the Facebook group. I think I recall that he said whatever the shamans did stirred things up, but didn't permanently fix them. He also said that Amy gave more details of her psychic impressions that did not make the show, but it turned out to be more correct than Steve's research and conclusions. I think Terry ended up having to do a lot more work himself to fix the situation, but he ultimately found some sort of peace.
I hope so.
So that's good. I hope so. No mention of Bobby, so possibly they aren't together, which would make me sad, but, you know. All right, so Alva Shaw. What I did find, I found his grave on Find a Grave.
Oh,
he
cool.
was married. They did mention that he had a wife, but they didn't say who she was. Her name was Sarah Eleanor McNary, and they had five children, Lucien, Eunice, Olive, Mary, and Eunice. Holt. And then it says, so when he was superintendent of the penitentiary, he was responsible for locating the property and developing it and moving the inmates from another penitentiary to the new one.
Okay.
So it wasn't like he was the head of security or anything.
Yeah.
You know, he was the developer of the land. Mm-hmm. So he was like doing, you know, contracts and paperwork and, you know, getting the contractors together to build the place and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think he was in charge of.
He was almost like the project manager.
Yeah. It doesn't sound to me from these articles that he was the one that was in charge of like making sure that people don't escape.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he just didn't have the building permits, right? And, you know, and the things didn't get built they were supposed to. I don't know. Didn't go into all that. But anyway, the Deadfell said that he was taken hostage with two of his employees by nine prisoners. The article I have said that this guy, Shaw, and warden Seth Allard and a brickyard foreman, Alden, were seized by a group of convicts with butcher knives in attempt to escape. So it was three men. So yeah, that would be him and the two employees.
Mm-hmm.
Three men. And then they were saved when guards opened fire on the convicts. The incident described in detail in this newspaper, blah, 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 undoubtedly contributed to Shaw's interest in leaving the position.
I would say so. Yeah.
It doesn't probably. It doesn't say anything about the fence and that he distracted them or whatever that stuff was. I don't know if that's true. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. Anyway, that was on his Find a Grave, and it was information supplied by somebody whose name is there, but I don't know who they are. It doesn't look like it's a family member or anything. The two men that were fighting and one of them killed the other, I couldn't find anything on them. I couldn't find anything at all. Zip, nada. John Johnson, the one that hung, I don't know if this is his obituary or just a little thing in the paper, but it says he did die by hanging himself in his barn. He leaves a large and interesting family.
That might be bad.
Yeah,
because you know how we say, oh, that's interesting.
I don't think it's Minnesota interesting. This is Oregon.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah.
Nothing unusual bad had been observed in his conduct, and his family and friends are at a loss to determine the motive, prompting the commission of the rash act. And then I have a picture of his gravestone, which I will put up. And he had two children, Alcida Persis Johnson Tartar, which is the one who passed. And then Esther Jane Eddie Johnson.
No, I thought his nephew passed.
You're right. Persis, I was going by the name.
Persis was his nephew,
yeah,
so she was probably named after him.
Yeah, Alcida Persis was alive from 1857 to 1938.
She was old.
Yeah, got old. So that's all I got for the research.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, da-da-da-da-da.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the Activity Continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.